Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, turn with me to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, and I'm going to read the first six verses. And I'm just going to reaffirm what Joe was preaching. Hebrews 3 and verses 1 through 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. This first verse starts out talking to brethren. But not just brethren. It is talking to those who have been made pure. This is how they have been made pure. Partakers. That is, sharers in the calling from above. It is a calling, and this calling comes from above. It does not come from us and go to the heavenlies. This is a calling that comes from above, down to us, and that calling invites us to be partakers of it in a way that we cannot resist. There is a reason, there is a cause for this, because we have a wherefore beginning this verse, and we have to go back three verses. So just turn back to Hebrews 2, and I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. Jesus Christ was specific to what nature he would take on. It was not angels. It was the seed of Abraham. It behooved him, it says. It was what he thought was best, that he should be made like unto his brethren. This is before they were called with that heavenly calling. Yet it says here, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He already had us in his mind when he came down and was made of a woman, made under the law. This he did, it says here, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. He wanted to know about his brethren. He wanted to know what they would feel, what they felt. And in becoming this, by his wise decision, he is able to succor them, it says.
Yes.
That is, he is able to aid or relieve his people who are tempted. He knows in the heavenly calling just how to call them in such a way that they will not and cannot resist. It is a heavenly calling to his brethren. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians 1 for a minute. Ephesians 1. And these are those people that he's talking about here. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus Christ was specific to what nature he would take on. And I'm going back in my notes. Let me get back down where I'm supposed to be here. Ephesians 1:3-6. So it is a specific group that God, the three in one, purposed to bring to himself in Christ, the apostle and great high priest. Because it is according as he hath chosen us in him, and that's in Jesus Christ. In this choosing based on Jesus Christ, we will be made holy and without blame before him. And before him who? Before God in love. All to his praise because he did it all. Had he not chosen us, we would not have been called. So back to verse 1 of chapter 3 in Hebrews. We are told to consider something. The apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ. The apostle, that means a delegate. But more specifically, an ambassador of the gospel. He who is the gospel is an ambassador of the gospel. He is also named here high priest. He is the chiefest of 10,000s, the great high priest. He is that one who knows exactly what pleases God because he is God.
Yes.
He is truly able to call us with a heavenly calling. So let's consider then the apostle and great high priest. It says here of our profession. What we're going to go through here is that one which we acknowledge, our profession. That is what it means by the word profession. It does not say consider your profession of the apostle and great high priest. No, this is talking about a specific one and not just what we might think of him. If the one you are professing is not this one that is described here, then you are not professing the apostle and great high priest. We are going to be told some things here about this apostle and high priest. Because the apostle writing this epistle by God's Holy Spirit is instructing us to consider this one specifically. It is he that was pleased to be made like unto his brethren so that he might succor them that are his. This one which we profess, which is the apostle and great high priest. And the main point today is only one point I have, but it has several subpoints. But he is faithful. That's my point. He is faithful to him that appointed him. He is counted worthy of more glory than Moses. And all things are built by God, and Jesus Christ is God, and a son over his whole house. So he is faithful to him that appointed him. Hebrews 12:2 we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yes.
I know we quote, I quote this verse a lot anyway, but if we look at this verse as it pertains to Hebrews 3, what do we see? We are told to observe fully, consider Jesus Christ, and the context is the faith of Jesus Christ because it is he who is faithful. When we read that verse there in Hebrews 12:2, it says, Jesus Christ is the author. This word author is derived from a word that means corner. It is derived from another word which means to lead, which gives us this word which means chief leader. It is he that leads because he is the chief cornerstone and he starts the building. If your building does not start with Jesus Christ and his faith, then your building is built on sand. Your building is sure to fall. But if your building is built upon this rock, this cornerstone, then no matter what comes, it will withstand whatever comes at it. Because the builder is not you. The builder is Jesus Christ, because he is the chief leader in it all. But it also says finisher. The word finisher there is derived from a word that means to complete. It can mean to perfect, which also applies here. So the word finisher here means the completer, the finisher. The faith of Jesus Christ is perfect. That verse explains what faith is all about. The faith of Jesus Christ was toward a certain purpose. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy was not the cross, because it is the cross he endured, is what it says here. The joy was the people he would have for his name and the glory he would receive. Jesus Christ knew what he was going to have to go through, and he was faithful to endure the cross. All the while he did, he despised the shame. Yes. He was not up on the cross smiling as things transpired. But there was a joy set before him, it says, and for that he was pleased to endure the cross for some men who are holy brethren and made so by him. Yeah. He did this on their behalf that he might get all the glory. He is, not will be, but he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We know what the right hand signifies. The right hand is a symbol of power and authority. Him being at the right hand of God, he has all power and authority given to him because he earned it. You and I could not earn anything. We have, in fact, have nothing but demerit. So we need such a one who was able to endure the cross and despise the shame, who could bring us to God by a holy calling through the faith of this one who died on that tree, but not only died, but has sat down at the right hand of God on high. Amen. He now has all power and authority. And I only say it this way because of that priority of position, if you will. This was given him by God the Father. God, that has always had power and authority, has given Jesus Christ all power and authority because of his faithfulness. Jesus Christ is God. And I just really like saying that. You remember Pharaoh and Joseph? Joseph had the same authority as Pharaoh. Only Pharaoh himself could change that. We know he did not. In fact, we see Joseph as the mouthpiece for Pharaoh. Jesus Christ is the mouthpiece of God, if you will. If we are to see or hear of the Father, it will be through Jesus Christ, or we will not hear God at all. He was made like unto us that he might succor us to himself. So what else do we have? He was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. I just like how it says it here. It says, for this man. Knowing what we read in the previous chapter, it just kind of hits home with me, this man. This our Lord was made a man, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. This man was counted, that is, to deem entitled is what the word means, to deem entitled. Jesus Christ is entitled to more glory than Moses. Moses had glory. I see the law of God picture here when I read this. Moses did not build himself. He was also built by the builder, who is God, who is Jesus Christ. Moses spoke of Christ. John 5:45-46, we read, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. What does this mean? Remember, this book is written to believers. No unbeliever will ever believe what is written in this book. They will have to be made a believer to ever believe what God has given in His Word. But Moses spoke of Jesus Christ, it says. He did this in speaking of the rock or directing people to the rock. But he also did this when he pointed out by the law of God, which he brought, the scripture says, that could not be kept by us and in fact is broken by us all the time. He spoke of Christ in the law, knowing that sacrifice would be needed to atone for sin. We know this is true from verse 5 of our text. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of after. He gave witness to Christ. This is glorious to know. But when the one to whom it was spoken of is come, there's no longer a need to speak of what points to the thing. Just speak of the thing which has the more glory. I do not mean here that we should not read the Old Testament or preach from the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is counted worthy of more glory because of what He has done and who He is. The spotless Lamb of God who gave Himself for His people. Why should we glory in any other? He does it all. So what next? All things are built by God, and Jesus Christ is God. Turn with me to Hebrews 11, just a little bit over. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Here we read of Abraham. Abraham did some things. But there is a word here that we read in that passage that is an enabler, if you will. And that might not be a real good word, but it's an enabler. Faith. We have already read that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith. So what kind of faith is it that Abraham had? Well, it's the very same faith. We have two passages that are very familiar that I want to point out. Joe's already mentioned one, but Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If you have faith, the kind of faith that Abraham had, it will be the faith that God gives. Because it is the gift of God, and it is done by His grace or favor to them whom He chose in the Son, who was faithful to perfection. The Son was. But the other passage I want to give to show it is the very faith of Christ, and this is given to His people, is Romans 3:22. Read it several times. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives in measure to every man, that is, every man chosen in Himself. He gives a measure of faith that He is pleased to give them. By this giving of faith, they will be enabled to perform that which God requires of them. And this faith is accounted to them for righteousness. Because the faith of Christ is the righteousness of God, and it is without the law. For Christ is worthy of more glory than Moses. It is God who builds the house, and the foundation of this house is Jesus Christ and His faith. The house being built of God is kept by God and considers God always. It is the Son who has built the house, for he is the cornerstone. So it is his house. So we have next a son over his house. Jesus Christ is the builder of the house. He is the son over the house. Jesus Christ is God, and God is the sovereign over all. And I mean to say here, he is sovereign over all those who believe and all those who do not believe. But here it is a more personal thing. Not to those who do not believe. We've already read that it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, so that he might succor them that are his. He will bring you to that place where you will delight to see him in the Scripture. You will delight to hear him in the Scripture. Hearing what he has done will comfort your soul. You will hear and see this because he will be right there with you. And if you would, turn with me to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Verses 25 through 27. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's something here that previously in times past was not made known. But we are privileged to know these things now. What is it that we are told right there in Colossians 1? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the Son over his house. Now some might say this is the church, and it certainly includes those who are a part of his church. But I believe this is more personal. Remember, it talks about him being made like unto his brethren, that he may succor or help them that are tempted. And notice here also, this says, whose house we are if. This is not an if of it might be or it might not be. It is giving a description of those whom he succors and comes in to abide with them. They will hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. They will be enabled by God to continually consider the apostle and high priest of their profession. It will be the one they profess. It is he who is my hope. His people have confidence and rejoicing in that. And this will be the end of by his grace. And I just like the thought of Christ in you, the hope of glory. At the same time, it brings that reverential fear, knowing he is always with me and he is sovereign over all things. So what do we conclude from all of this? We are told in the first verse of our text to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Jesus Christ is much more than just the apostle and high priest. Jesus Christ is said to be all and in all them that believe. How could we ever consider all that he is? It will take us an eternity to know all that he is. We are told here two things to consider. He is the apostle. That is, he is the one that is the ambassador of the gospel. He brings the gospel to our ears. Ears that he has given, eyes that he has given, and to a heart that he has given. It is he who brings to us what he has done. We begin to see his faithfulness. But he is also the high priest. He is the one who has actually done it. He is worthy than more glory than Moses, because Moses pointed to him. He offered that which was needed to atone for his people's sin. He builds his people up by giving them faith, that they might believe him. And in believing him by this faith, they do some things. What do? They believe God. they love God, and they love the brethren. What do you do when you believe someone or you love someone? It's been said here before. You can't really spell out the specifics. The one and only thing I can think of is to say is how it's been said before. If you believe someone and if you love someone, you spend time with them. You spend money on them. You help them. They are your life. And I cannot show you what it looks like exactly because I have this old man with me and it likes to look at self all too often. So I cannot point you to what I do. All I can do is point you to what he did. But may he enable us by faith given to us to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. That it is he who is worthy of all honor and glory, and may it continually be so with us. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us to be here today. And dear Lord, we know not what to pray for as we ought, dear Lord. Help us, dear Lord. Cause our minds to be fixed on you, dear Lord. And all these things we ask in your name. Amen.